My guest today has chosen to keep her identity private, but she is here to share her phenomenal story of courage and resilience. Hello, are you here with us?
Hello. Yes, I'm here with you.
So why don't you introduce yourself to our listeners?
I'm a student, a grade 10 student, currently finishing grade 10 year. Goes to PGSS.
How long have you been in Prince George?
I've been in Prince George for about 6 years. I came here in 2016, February 15th, mm-hmm. I guess. Mm-hmm. I'm a student, like to play sports, lots of sports like badminton, volleyball, basketball, mm-hmm. doing critical sports.
What about your family? Tell us about, you know, your siblings.
Oh, I come from a big family. Mm-hmm. Like 7 people of my family.
Yeah.
I have 4 brothers. They're lovely sometimes.
Yeah. And you are the eldest of them, right?
I am. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's phenomenal. So you've been here for 6 years. What was life like for you before coming to Canada?
So Canada is the third country I live in. Mm-hmm. I'm from Syria. I know I stayed in Syria till I was 8 years old or 9 years old. And then moved to Lebanon. I moved to Lebanon because of the war started in Syria in 2011. And the end of 2011, I was in Lebanon because it was getting worse there in Syria. Lebanon, difficult life there in Lebanon, very difficult. Especially I was living in one room with 6 people in it. Mm-hmm. That room had a kitchen and a bathroom in it. It was very small for 6 people to live in. But also, it was safer than living in Syria with a house, but also outside. You don't know when you're going to be shot at. In Lebanon, I remember I went to school there, but there were lots of racism towards mm-hmm. Syrian people. Like, we were not allowed to go to school with the Lebanese people mm-hmm. because we were considered as bad people. Worse models for Lebanese people mm-hmm. In a case, oh, we're gonna make them hate their country, or like the reason why we left our country, because they're the people in my country started the war. And I don't know if I want to blame them of saying that, but also we were little kids mm-hmm. In grade 3. And I remember they cut off the time between us, so the Lebanese people will go to school from the morning till the afternoon. And then it's our time to go to school in the afternoon till the evening. I remember the school was really, really far from our house. So I had to walk like about an hour to school there. And it was, I don't know, the worst school that I had to go in my life. In Lebanon, it was, the teachers were really bad models for us. They were like, every time you do something that bad, you will, they will say that, oh, you should be thankful you're coming to school, and etc.
Mm-hmm. So you had to leave Syria due to the war and your fear of your own lives and your safety as a family.
Mm-hmm.
But once you reached what you thought would be, you know, a safer place, it presented itself with new challenges, such
exactly.
as like the racist kind of climate of yeah. Lebanon towards the Syrian refugees who came in, especially as you were mentioning within the school dynamic, which is very mm-hmm. hard to hear for sure.
I mean, we lived there about for 4 to 5 years. We got used to it. I remember for a whole year, I did not get to go to school because they did not want Syrian people to go to school, basically. So a whole year I will see those kids coming from school with their school uniforms and holding their backpacks. And I remember one time I asked my mom, why don't I get to go to school like those kids?
Mm-hmm.
And she never answered. Wow. She had no answer to give me.
Yeah. So tell me a bit about your turning point. When you found out that you were being sponsored to come to Canada, what did that feel like for you?
I remember my dad had that call in the morning where the unions called him and they were like, are you willing to travel to Canada? And I remember the first answer my dad gave them is yes. I would love to come to Canada. Because they basically, this community that we were living in, it was really bad.
Mm-hmm.
Like, a Syrian person have to really think about going outside and what's going to happen to him if he said, I'm from Syria there. And I know there's where you get help from.
Oh,
it's like welfare and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they came to our house like 3 to 4 times before they decided to us to come to Canada. And I remember every time they come to our small room, they will ask my dad the exact same thing. What do you guys eat in the month? Like, what's your budget on food? And every time they will come there, they will say, oh, how many times in a month do you eat meat? Or how many times in a month do you eat fruits? And one time my dad got so mad at them because they will ask those questions in front of us. And in this month, maybe we hadn't tasted the meat or did not eat fruits at all. And so after that time, my dad kicked them out. He said, I'm done with your questions. Same exact questions you ask every time. And
must have been difficult for him, you know, being the head of the house and having that responsibility to make sure that you guys had everything that you needed. It must have been very hard for him to hear that every month. Yeah,
and then one morning he had that phone call from the people.
Yeah, the people who were organizing the refugees to come to Canada.
Yeah, and they were like, want to come to Canada? The first answer my dad gave them is yes.
Mm-hmm.
I remember my mom cried a lot, because when we were in Lebanon, we were still close to Syria. Like, there's that chance of us going back to Syria.
Mm-hmm.
And she knew when we were going to come to Canada, there's no way, maybe in 20 years, we're going to go back to Syria. So she cried, cried a lot. And I know there's lots of problems happened, and also like us deciding if want to come to Canada or not.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I had no answer, no feelings. I'm like, Canada, never heard about this country before.
Mm-hmm.
I know they were always speaking to us, like telling us about America and how it would look to live in America, and like New York, rich people, cars, companies. I'm like, is it like America? Is it like I'm going to have this beautiful life in America there? I remember I did not ask any questions about Canada because first I was young. I had no idea how it's going to be a refugee. I never been on an airplane. Mm-hmm. So the first question actually I asked my dad after they did all the papers and stuff. I'm like, are we going to get in an airplane?
Wow. that's where your mind was. It was like so surreal.
Uh-huh.
These are like things that you hear about, and these are things that you hear about in places that you hear about.
Yeah.
Like this big city life outside of where you were in Syria, like the America, as you're saying, like this American dream.
Mm-hmm.
And now it was like,
especially there's like lots of movies about how American kids are so spoiled. They go to these private big schools with like swimming pools and like gyms and stuff. I'm like, wow, I'm gonna have that life soon.
Mm-hmm. So it was hope.
It was hope to leave Lebanon.
Mm-hmm.
It was always my hope to leave Lebanon. Because actually, before I went to Lebanon, I had the same thoughts. Like, now how I'm saying American stuff, I'm like, oh, Lebanon, big country. I'm going to live there with a big house,
mm-hmm.
cars, shopping,
yeah,
going out with friends. And then when I realized the moment that I came to Lebanon, went to Lebanon, nothing.
It wasn't the reality that you thought it was.
No.
Yeah.
It was like a room.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, with no friends, actually. And we were scared to become friends with Lebanese kids, of them judging us coming from a horrible place, basically.
Yeah, mm-hmm. For sure. You touched on your mother, how she was upset mm-hmm. originally. And I think for people, they'd be like, oh, of course you want to come to Canada, you know. Yeah. It's much safer. It's much better. Mm-hmm. There's so many more opportunities. But at the same time, it's, you know, you're not going back.
Yeah.
You know that.
Yeah. The first year of my mom here in Canada, she had really bad depression. Like, she said, there's no way she's going back to Syria there. And actually, our first interview before we came to Canada, it was for my dad and my mom. And that woman asked her to bring something that will remind her of Syria. Mm. And I remember my mom cried a lot. She's like, why do I want to bring something to remind me of Syria if I'm going back there? And yeah, the woman never gave her an answer. She's like, just bring a flag, a blanket, anything that will remind you of your country and stuff. Mm. This moment, my mom realized she will never go back to Syria in like 20 years. Now people will ask me like, are you willing to go back if you have a chance of going back to Syria? Are you going to go back to Syria? And I don't give them an answer. But in my heart, I'm like, yes, of course, I would love to go back to my mm-hmm. home country and be there with all the relatives, all the people that will love me and stuff, mm-hmm, that sure. will care about me.
So when you came, obviously, government-wise, there was a little bit of political division between, you know, bringing and supporting Syrian refugees because of mm-hmm. the stereotypes and the negative connotation towards just what refugees in general and the prospects that they bring into a country. How did you feel that the government supported you and your family? Did you feel like they did an adequate job, or do you feel like there was something that could have made that transition better?
Yeah, there were definitely some stuff for missing. I know when we came here, our first apartment was, I was like, wow, I get to have my own room for the first time without having to share it with 6 people. But also, there were lots of stuff missing. Like, when we came here, I thought my dad will have a job. We'll have like better lives and stuff. We did have better life in a way that is safer. That I know I will get to go to school. I will get to make friends. Nobody will judge me of where I came from. And I know I will not wake up one day and lose one member of my family.
Was there anything else that kind of stood out to you other than maybe your dad finding work? Like, maybe even something for your mom. I mean, you said that your mom went through, like, depression and stuff. Could have there been more, like, more mental health yeah. resources for you guys because of that mm. culture shock?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I would say the language support also. Like, my parents are here, are still going to IMSS mm-hmm. to learn English. But it's been a long time for them. And of that, they... because they don't have a language yet that really put them in a job.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. My mom can't go work, like, because my mom usually cooks a lot. She's a housewife and stuff.
Yeah.
But if she's going to work, she doesn't have that language to work. Like,
it's a barrier for her that mm-hmm. she doesn't know English fluently enough yeah. to be able to work.
Mm-hmm. And, like, IMSS is like going there for 3 hours, I think. They will teach you like basic stuff,
mm-hmm.
like how to go to a doctor or how to make an appointment,
or taxes,
yeah. or searching for a job. They teach them how to search for a job, but they don't tell them what they need for that job.
Mm-hmm. For you personally, you know, going through that culture shock and coming here, did you feel like it would have been beneficial if you had like a counselor or somebody, even somebody who spoke Arabic, who could have helped you talk through what was happening? Because obviously when you first came, you didn't know English very well either. So did you feel like that could have been something that would have been useful or helpful?
Actually, when we first came here the first year in elementary school, we had that class that had all the Syrian kids in it, mm-hmm. like one class with a Canadian teacher, but also we had a translator with her. So I feel that's good. But we also needed that extra support to really put us in a space that we're ready to be in our regular classrooms stuff.
Mm-hmm. It had been a while because of your situation in Lebanon, in terms of school. Like, how many years were you out of school before coming back?
I went in Lebanon to... I did grade 3 grade. Grade 4, I did not get to do grade 4 because I told you there was that whole year gap of doing nothing, basically. Grade 5, I did grade 5 in Lebanon. It was horrible. I can describe it as horrible because it was the one teacher teaching us, like, how many subjects? Like, 4 subjects. Like, small amount of time.
Yeah.
And if we did not get to pass, those subjects were in, like, big trouble.
Yeah. It was just a different dynamic, and it was very sudden and probably very overwhelming.
Yeah.
You know, being in an entirely different language and trying to adjust to everything going on. That being said, something that we were talking about earlier is this perception of who you are, right?
Mm-hmm.
You came to Canada... You had that label, Syrian refugee. And even to this day, like, I, you know, when we were talking, like, I hate using that because you've grown so much. You aren't that, right?
Mm-hmm.
You've overcome so much more. And I love your story and the person that you are. So explain to listeners a bit about how that stereotype and that negative image of Syrian refugees initially, how that prevented you from being who you are.
So, the first 2 years of high schools where we're getting used to all the teachers, to the school, to the friends, their new friends, I hid my personality for like 2 years in a row. I was scared of people judging me. I think that's because of Lebanon schools, of people like really judging me of anything and everything. That really made me hide my personality in here in Canada, in PGSS. I would really be scared to talk to new people, socialize with people, a fear of them judging me, basically. So the first 2 years of high school, I would sit on my desk, not talk to anyone, like talk to really close friends from elementary school. But like I was... having that fear of making new friends or showing them I'm that person who can really have a personality. Yeah, just this year I'm like, I want to be myself. I can't really hide me under how people want me to be. Like, I can't be that model of like, oh, I'm living my life. I have my dreams. I go out, I not care about what other people will say about me. I hide that a lot in me. But this year I'm like, I thought about it over and over in summer. And really the only thing that helped me is I stood in front of my mirror. And I'm like, I started talking to myself.
So tell us a little bit about... who you want to be in the future. What does the future have in store for you? Obviously you've really mentioned how far you've come and the resilience that you've had to adapt and grow into who you are now. But what does the future have in store?
Lots of dreams. I know when I first came to Canada, I started dreaming for the first time. Dreaming about like how my future will look like. Dreaming of actually the first year in here, I dreamed of going to school without having those gaps in every year. Now in grade 10, since I have 2 years left of high school, And that's really exciting for me because I get to now go to university and have bigger dreams. One of my dreams that I'm really working hard towards is becoming a doctor. Mm-hmm. And it's not only my dream, it's my mom's dream first for me to become a doctor. Yeah, and I have lots of other dreams. Dreaming of traveling. Not traveling to like really beautiful cities. No, actually traveling to poor countries and seeing how it's like to live mm-hmm. there, because I lived during the poor time.
Mm-hmm.
And I know how it felt. And I'm not saying I lived in a poor time, because I know there's lots of other Syrian people who lived, are still living life worse than me. Like, I think I lived this in Syria for 1 year, of like really scared of someone will come take my mom or take my brothers or get shot at. And then in Lebanon, I had that fears of not going to school or something bad will happen to one of my family members.
Okay, my final question is why, despite everything that has happened, you have such a positive attitude, such a kind heart. Where does that come from?
It comes from all the hateness
mm-hmm.
that I have been through. I think so. I just don't want to be those people who treated me and my family in a really bad way. I don't want to treat others the way I got treated.
You know how it feels.
I know how it feels, how it hurts.
Mm.
How it's really when you sleep at night and you cry before you sleep. I never told my mom when we were in Lebanon, every time I go to bed, I would cry because of what people had said to me in school. And like just hide under my blanket and just cry there. And I think, yeah, I know how it's like to be in someone's shoes.
Mm-hmm. There was nothing in you that could see that for anybody else. Mm-hmm. That, as you're saying, like hatred and
yeah.
mistreatment mm-hmm. and lack of kindness. Yeah,
like I had lots of questions when we were in Lebanon for my parents to ask.
Mm-hmm.
I never asked them those questions, though. I wanted to ask them why we're living the way we are living right now. Why can't we move to a bigger house? Why can't I go to school every day?
Mm-hmm.
Why can't I wear that uniform that all the kids wear? I think that's where all the positive come from. And I'm not saying I'm always positive, having that smile on my face. There's that moment where you're like done with your life. You're like, you want to be alone. And actually sometimes I remember the story of me and just sit there and write it on a paper.
Mm.
And like, and the only thing I can say is that I can make a new of me.
Mm-hmm.
I have lots of other dreams. I have to move forward. Yeah.
You have the choice.
I have the choice, yeah.
To, you know, change and seek those opportunities.
Yeah.
And just become an even more phenomenal person than you already are.
Yeah.
Mm. Such a wonderful story of bravery and overcoming.
Mm-hmm.
Right? There's so much more to say and so Definitely. Much more to delve into.
Mm-hmm.
But I hope that it really gives listeners just a slice. Thank you so much for taking the time to come and share your story.
And thank you for listening to me.
Take care now.
Thank you.